Before we start, we want to let you know we've launched a Patreon page where supporters can receive perks like bonus episodes and exclusive content.
Because Pop Fiction Women is our passion project, a place where we give women space to show up and offer in-depth analysis in the ways we're used to hearing about male creators and their characters.
We delve into creativity and psychology with a dash of astrology, and we have so much fun doing it. Just two friends breaking down books, movies, and shows like Normal People, Fleabag, and I May Destroy You.
Every single aspect of this podcast we do ourselves, from the preparation to the recording, from the editing to the social media promotion. So we're adding a Patreon platform because we want to keep making the show you love and hopefully expand it even further.
So please consider becoming one of our most complicated fans and contributing on Patreon.
To learn more, go to patreon.com/popfictionwomen. This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate. And we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. Very special episode today. Taylor Swift's Folklore and the Chicks' new album. Formerly yes. Dixie Chicks, yes.
Yes. So my notes are calling this Taylor and the Chicks. I feel like that's the name of a new band right there.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe because I'm thinking of Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes.
Sounds like Taylor and the Chicks.
Taylor Swift and the Chicks. It's Daisy Jones and the Six, Taylor Swift and the Chicks. Let's make it happen.
Yes. I love it.
I love this. Although it kind of already has happened.
They've sung together. So you're right. It has happened.
And that was on Lover.
Yes, the song Soon You'll Get Better.
Yes. Okay, but so aside from that, we really were so shocked by Taylor Swift's announcement that she was dropping an album out of nowhere in the middle of quarantine. Most of the things I had planned this summer didn't end up happening, but there is something I hadn't planned on that did happen. And that thing is my 8th studio album, Folklore. Surprise. Yeah. I mean, that's an understatement of the year. Surprise.
Yes. Given that any album she puts out usually has such a long lead and fanfare and little clues. And the rollout is so orchestrated that this was completely shocking to anyone who's a fan.
That's right. Because not only was she announcing that she had done it, she was announcing it was dropping at midnight.
Yes. And it's only been less than a year, 11 months since her last one, which for her is unprecedented.
It is. That's
that
right.
That kind of turnaround. So
that's right.
Yes. It was a big news.
Big news. So we jumped on it, obviously, being Taylor Swift fans. And somewhere, I don't know, I just called you and I was like, look, let's do an episode on this and let's add the Chicks.
We'd already been obsessing over the Chicks album. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the minute Gaslighter came out, I've been playing that. I think I said to you, we've done 2 social media posts on it. I'm like, I'm not even sure, you know, if people even care or if they're like, why do they keep posting about music? But I'm like, that's how strongly I felt about their album too.
Yes.
So, but it's perfect, right? I mean, we've talked about this. This is their female storytellers. Both of them, both the Chicks and Taylor Swift. And that's what we talk about on here,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Sometimes, you know, the show has taken the form of books, TV shows, and movies, mostly because we can't include everything that there was out there. But you and I are both huge music fans. We did Taylor Swift's Miss Americana documentary. So this is not a huge leap, but like you're saying, what we really want to talk about is stories by women that center women, that are created by women, that show the depth and breadth of what women are, because we're not one thing. And so that's what this entire podcast wants to encapsulate. But these are now 2 albums that have come out, and they are 2 albums that we are obsessed with.
even before we heard Taylor Swift's album. I mean, we're huge fans anyway. We yeah. listened. But her post,
yeah.
you and I both commented that yes. she said, you know, before this year, I probably would have overthought when to release this music at the perfect time. She said, but the times we're living in keep reminding me that nothing is guaranteed. My gut is telling me that if you make something you love, you should just put it out into the world. Mm. And on that basis alone, we were like, oh my God, right? Because yes. how much have we talked about ourselves on the podcast and yes. with authors about following your gut and your energy
yes.
and just letting that guide you. And then when she said that in her post, I was yeah. like, oh, Taylor, you're talking right to us right now. I mean,
you know, these two albums, they're maybe not representative of everyone out there, but they are another aspect of women storytellers putting themselves front and center, doing the work, speaking their mind, and mm-hmm. that's something for us to celebrate.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking their mind, I think, is mm-hmm. key. I mean,
yes,
that's, you know, Taylor Swift has always been a huge fan of the Chicks. I mean, they both started in country music, but they both distanced themselves from it for different reasons. But even on Miss Americana, like you said, we did cover that on the podcast. Taylor Swift says that throughout her, when she was sort of debating on there about getting into politics and speaking
right,
out
right.
and using her voice, and she was getting a lot of feedback, negative feedback from her handlers and her dad yep. and her label.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. and everybody kept saying, as she says on there, she kept saying, don't be like the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
And for her, that was such a huge blow. She said, because I loved the Dixie Chicks,
right.
she said. So, you know, for people to be telling me don't be like them, when in fact that's exactly what she felt she needed to do at that time. And even though theirs was sort of a cautionary tale, she decided it was more important for her to speak out. And in that time, it was about, you know, a senator that was running from her state mm-hmm, or whatever. But
right.
yeah, so and then their documentary, Shut Up and Sing, is
yes.
fantastic too, by the way. But, you know, I think they were real role models for Taylor Swift. And I love that aspect too, that it was sort of the next generation looking up to, you know, who were her idols and saying, you know, I am going to use my voice.
Yes.
They did it. And so, you know, I think she thought we were in a different time now. I don't think she, you know, than when the Dixie Chicks did that
sure.
in 2003. But still, I mean, like you saw
yeah, but
on
it's
the
not
documentary.
So, it's
yeah,
not
it's
that
still
different.
Was scary. It's not.
Yeah.
It was still scary, and people were still telling people who cared about her and loved her. They
yeah.
were, they legit were like, if you do
pretty
this,
much shut up and sing.
Yes, yeah, shut up and sing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she didn't, and
we
that's
love
why
we love it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
we love it.
So both of these albums also I felt like had really strong. Now, if Lover came out yesterday, I don't think I would have called you and said, do you think we should do this? This album and the Chicks album both feel like such strong albums of redemption,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah, yeah.
and rebirth. And yeah. although there is definitely some element of revenge, it's really something beyond revenge, even in both of them. And we're going to talk plenty about Natalie Maines later on and
right.
and what she has to say about her ex and that relationship, but it is, they do still speak to things so much bigger than revenge. Again, rebirth, redemption. I mean, Taylor Swift, everything I said in the Miss Americana documentary episode, she shot to hell with this album. Right?
Yes,
right?
Totally. Yes.
I was like, she's a little lost in the documentary. She's not uh-huh. really sure. She's still grappling with her voice. And here it is.
Ew,
I mean,
she found it.
Right? And I feel like literally and figuratively, it's a very stripped down album. Her vocals are really on display.
Which
right?
she's been criticized for in the past, I feel like. You know, the people, a lot, if there are critics, and there always are,
yes.
it's never really about her songwriting. I mean, that's pretty flawless
yeah.
always. But it's,
yeah.
you know, well, her voice is okay. It's not that strong, you know. Or
Oof.
On a lot of the prior albums, there's more radio-friendly kind
mm-hmm,
of pop and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And this is completely stripped down.
Yeah.
And now you really do see her voice on full display. And it's amazing.
Oh, it is so strong and beautiful. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And right. It's just less produced, you know?
Oh, completely. It's really stripped down and sort of a folk, modern folk songs, you know? And
yes. That, so the album is being characterized as alternative.
Yeah, or indie folk.
Yeah. Something different from her previous genres of country and then pop. This is yet another. And, I mean, it's killing it. I don't know if you saw it. This was just released, according to Spotify. It's the biggest debut for a female artist. 80.6 million streams of the album in its very first day.
Oh my God.
The only album that has been bigger to date is Drake's album Scorpion, which had 132 million streams in its first 24 hours. And by comparison, so Taylor Swift's number one female or number two out of anyone. So that those both are amazing statistics. And by comparison, Lover received only 55 million streams during its first day just a year ago. And 80 million this time around. I mean,
so do you think, like, because Lover, she put out that Brandon Urie song, Me, first, right? Wasn't that the first one?
It was.
I think what happens is, even with Reputation, what was that first one she leaked? It was very dark about Kanye.
Look What You Made Me Do.
What You Made Me Do.
Yes.
Sometimes those first ones that she puts out, I personally don't always think are representative of the rest of the album. And she turns people off. People are like, oh, I hate that song.
But she's always done that. I mean, Shake It Off was the first one in 1989.
Exactly.
It's the only song I hate from 1989.
I know, but maybe because this, nobody knew what was out there yet, so that might have helped too.
Maybe.
But look at those. Think about it.
But
right,
that's
those
30
first
million
singles.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're so different than this. I mean,
yes,
it's just it's amazing.
Yes. So generally, you want to talk about the album. Generally, we have already talked a little bit about. It's very beautiful. I've said it's very ethereal, like very, right? But it's not superficial. It's just kind of very dreamy, but also dreamy is sweet, but also kind of nightmarish. It's got a lot of references to ghosts and death and haunting.
Yes.
Right?
Madness.
Madness.
What struck me is that normally, also, I think a lot more of her songs are autobiographical. There are some here, but here she even says in that those, I don't know if it's a prologue or her liner notes, like she kind of put out a description, if you will, of it. But it was her telling other people's stories now too.
Yeah.
I felt like it was almost like a collection of short stories. Right?
Which hers always sort of are, but you're right. No, it did feel much more outside of herself fiction than
writing stories, like protagonists, and that's why I do think this is so like on point for us too.
I know.
She says, I think the prologue says, in isolation my imagination has run wild, and this album is the result, a collection of songs and stories that flowed like a stream of consciousness. Picking up a pen was my way of escaping into fantasy, history, and memory. And that's and then I think it goes on, I don't have the whole thing here, but where she says, and that's where the title Folklore comes from, because folklore is stories handed down, and she hopes that these stories, these songs, she's like, I've given them to you now, and it's up to you to pass them down, which I thought was so awesome.
Yes, I love that. I had not seen that until you pointed it out to me. Instead, a friend of mine had texted me when the album came out and was like, Taylor Swift wrote an entire album during quarantine and I can't finish like a puzzle.
Exactly.
And then the comment underneath it was, you need to calm down. Like using Taylor's words back at her. But it's funny and interesting. Also, Rebecca Searle was just doing an Instagram story saying how she finished the draft of a new novel in March and April. And some people, and I happen to be one of them, really turned to writing, fantasy, imagination, all of these words as a way of grounding and making us feel, I can speak for myself, feel more secure in a time when the outside world felt very scary, very dangerous, very uncertain at best. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those people, and I had been on a really terrible dry streak for writing. I hadn't written in 4 months, which was just shocking to me, and I'm not sure I realized it until I started writing again. And I think I've probably written every day since lockdown. So
it's cathartic.
And my imagination is just there, and all of it is activated. And you never know. People have all different responses to these kind of things. But I still think it's funny. Yeah. You need to calm down.
I'm like, it clear. Yeah. Someone was like, okay, so some of us were learning how to make sourdough bread.
Right.
And
she's
written an entire album.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And this is her first time, I guess, collaborating with Aaron Dessner of The National. Mm-hmm. She still got Jack Antonoff producing.
Yes.
But it's a cool vibe. And again,
she's
constantly reinventing herself. I mean, from country to pop and now this, but it never feels like some sort of force, like, oh, now I need to be something different. It's just so organic.
If anything, Lover, in retrospect, Lover might have felt that way now. This, to me, is the album she should have put out a year ago. Like, this is the album. No, and frankly, she couldn't have, because as I mentioned, she came out of her Saturn's Return in January of 2020. And so this timing, as far as an astrology perspective goes, makes complete sense.
Oh, but, interesting.
Yes, yes. But you're right. I do think it feels at once like a return to some previous Taylor Swift. It's slightly reminiscent of the bonus tracks on 1989. Two of my favorites, You Are in Love and Wonderland. Oh, so it's kind of a little bit like that. But also totally different, new, and fresh at the same time.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know how that's possible, but
well, it was funny too, because remember when Lover came out, and it was very much like about how happy she was finally in a relationship.
Yes.
And people were like, is she ever going to be able to write another album?
Right,
that's
right.
Because all she does is write about breakups.
Right.
And now she's so happy, she'll have no material. So someone was like, I think she found some new material.
Yes, she did.
She's doing just fine, guys.
Yes, she did. All right, so do we want to talk about our favorite songs?
Yes.
It's so hard. I actually have I have listed a whole list of them, and I'm just gonna kind of like play it by ear which one I end up saying. We can definitely,
or I have every song written down.
I feel like the one that's most relevant to this podcast is Mad Woman.
Oh, let's start with that.
Yeah. So I feel like this
was... Just listen to what you just said.
Most relevant to this podcast.
This podcast is Mad Women.
Absolutely.
What do you mean, Corinne?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
And to me, this is the counterpart to The Man, right?
Yes, it is.
Which
sharpens it.
Yes, exactly sharpens it. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. I loved The Man, but it was very kitschy and poppy.
Yeah.
And this is more insightful, aware.
It's more aggressive.
But unafraid. Like, sometimes aggressive is like a trapped animal, but this is.
Oh no! Yeah.
Savvy. This is.
Yeah.
I said it feels like it's fueled by anger that's no longer an open wound. It's more like that healed, useful anger. I love this song.
Of course, I have the lyrics.
Yes.
What did you think I'd say to that? Does a scorpion sting when fighting back? They strike to kill, and you know I will. You know I will.
Yes.
What do you sing on your drive home? Do you see my face in the neighbor's lawn? Does she smile? Or does she mouth, fuck you forever?
I'm like, thank
whoa.
You.
So she never curses in her songs either. So this was a big...
And
she hasn't dropped an F-bomb.
Exactly. This is the first one with explicit lyrics and multiple F-bombs. Multiple songs.
Yes.
I was very impressed by that. I was like, look at you, girl, go.
Yeah, and this, every time you call me crazy, I get more crazy.
That's,
what about that?
Oh.
And when you say I seem angry, I get more angry.
I love that. It's like, nope, not going to back down. I'm not going to take that shit on. Also,
and then the chorus is really, and there's nothing like a mad woman. Yeah. What a shame she went mad. No one likes a mad woman. You made her like that.
Yeah.
And you'll poke that bear till her claws come out, and you find something to wrap your noose around.
Yes.
And there's nothing like a mad woman.
Yeah.
The other part I thought was interesting. They say move on, but you know I won't. And women like hunting witches too, doing your dirtiest work for you.
Yeah.
It's obvious that wanting me dead has really brought you two together, which of course people have tried to think like
Kim and Kanye.
Yes, of course.
That was my thought.
But women like hunting witches too.
Yes.
See, and this is, we've talked about this a lot too, how sometimes the criticism and the vitriol comes from other women.
Yes, that's right. Who don't appreciate an untamed woman. But it's because there's just so much conditioning, as Glennon says.
Yes.
And we're working on that. And it's going pretty quick, I think. This album tells me that unprogramming, that deprogramming is going to go pretty quickly, because this track is amazing. I love it. I really did truly at that moment thought to myself, I hope she never stops writing songs about Kanye.
I know. Well, particularly now, man, he's really, those two are a complete shitstorm.
Totally. But still, it made me think of Liz Feldman, right? Find your wound and write from it. She has a whole lifetime of, I mean, if just what happened to her, getting up on that stage, him jumping up after and taking it away, and that whole moment and everything that happened, just that one moment is enough to write a lifetime of trauma songs. And
we talked about that on Miss Americana.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like when I watched that really, truly, that whole story, I mean, we all knew it, like I said, from the news and everything. But when you see it on Miss Americana and you hear her talk about it, you're absolutely right. That is a deep wound.
Yes.
That was really fucked up.
Like, that many people wouldn't be able to recover from. Yeah.
I know.
It really was.
You're right. She can go to that well.
I hope she does.
It's that deep.
I hope she does. At some point, I was kind of like, maybe, like, are we going to move on from these? No, not in a, she should, but in a, like, do you think she will? Now, I'm saying outright, I don't want her to ever stop writing songs that are veiled Kanye West.
Right.
I love them. And I just feel like the material is getting richer and richer. And by the way, that's actually what happens when you heal deep wounds, is your thoughts about it and what comes from it just gets deeper and richer. Kind of like Little Fires Everywhere, the burning down the soil and it gets richer. That's where she is. She is just crushing it. Love it.
Yes. And I don't ever want her to stop writing about mad women. And just about, you know what? You don't like me? Too bad. That's coming with age for her and with confidence. And that also makes me think of The Last Great American Dynasty.
This
is one of my picks.
Yes.
Talking about mad women. And this is one where she is not writing about herself, and it is sort of, to me, like a mini story. I mean, it's a historical story. She says in that prologue, or those liner notes, I found myself not only writing my own stories, but also writing about or from the perspective of people I've never met, people I've known, or those I wish I hadn't. And on this one, she says she writes about a misfit widow getting gleeful revenge on the town that cast her out. Now, she's no stranger to writing about revenge either, but this one was so interesting. I mean, there is a backstory. It's very factually accurate. It's about this woman, Rebecca West Harkness, who was an heiress who married the heir to the Standard Oil family and bought this mansion in Watch Hill, Rhode Island, which Taylor Swift ultimately purchased in 2013.
Yes. And that house has been a character in Taylor Swift's
kind
of public narrative for a while now. And at first it was like, who's included, who's not included? And it's like the parties. And then this is why we can't have nice things, she talks about, when
she
invited everybody over. So this house
I couldn't stop singing in my head. This is why we can't have nice things when I was listening to this one.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I was picturing the house and the parties.
Yes. So, yes. So like we were just saying with Mad Woman and Kanye West, she just, the more you kind of dig at something, the richer it gets. And she's gone from like partying at that house and talking about that to this kind of incredible history lesson and narrative of another woman.
Right, who she's now sort of likening, though, to herself.
I mean,
she says, like, first of all, I guess the woman was a divorcee, and I guess she was blamed in some part for her husband having a heart attack. The doctor had told him to settle down. It must have been her fault. His heart gave out, she wrote. Yeah. But then she says, there goes the last great American dynasty. Who knows if she never showed up, what could have been? There goes the maddest woman this town has ever seen. She had a marvelous time ruining everything. Mm. And she says it with such, she takes such pleasure in it.
Yes.
But I love then when she personalizes it, right? So 50 years is a long time. Holiday House, that was the name of the house, sat quietly on that beach, free of women with madness. They're men in bad habits. And then it was bought by me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes. Ah. And then she ends with, who knows if I never showed up, what could have been? Yeah. There goes the loudest woman this town has ever seen. Mm-hmm. I had a marvelous time ruining everything. Because, you know, there was so also a lot of the neighbors.
Yes. Complain.
Cut flack. I guess the governor of Rhode Island, once she bought it, wanted to institute some tax on second homes above a dollar threshold of like a couple million, whatever, and they were calling it the Taylor Swift tax. It never passed, but like, I mean, she took a lot of shit.
Yes, she did.
Basically, some of it maybe, you know, self-induced with the parties, whatever.
Sure.
But even this, in this song, she talks about this Rebecca emptying the pool and filling it with champagne, and apparently that woman did. The woman, this woman in the story did have these ridiculous parties, which is exactly what Taylor did.
Oh,
it's just again, like, back to mind, this is like a short story collection.
Yes.
Like, this one to me was so cool because it felt like a complete story of this, but of a historical accurate story, but also just like of this badass woman from back in the day. And it's like she was meant to buy this house.
She could
be the badass too.
Yeah, you know, she's got some snippets of one of our beloved concepts, fate versus free will. Like, how much of that was in the stars that she should buy this house, that Taylor Swift should buy this house? I mean, it's kind of crazy. I have to believe that's she wasn't born in Rhode Island. She has no connection with Rhode Island. I don't know why she bought it. It just seems written in the stars. It really does, right? Now,
of course,
that's the fate part of it. The free will part of it is writing a story or writing multiple songs about it, which are great songs. So that play is always there. But she's also got a line, too, or she's got quite a bit of it in Invisible String. It's almost all fate versus free will. But
I know. That's one of my picks, too.
Oh, it is? It wasn't one of mine. I was just going to move on.
That's good.
Oh, good.
No,
so let's.
That's okay.
Oh, what a perfect transition then.
I know. You just did that.
Yeah.
Listen, like I said, I can't really pick two. So you're going to be like, Kate, you keep saying that's one of your picks. We're up to four or whatever. No, I think I really do. This one, I just thought it was so pretty. Like, I know that sounds like just like a really pretty love song.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, geez, I am a country music fan, people, I will admit it, but the Rascal Flatts, The Broken Road, like, God bless the broken road that led me back to you. And it's just, you know, this idea that, like you said, like, how much of this is fated and like, I had to go through all these things to end up with you.
Yes.
And there was this string.
Invisible string.
Pulling her the whole time. Yeah. And I do love this one because this does seem very vintage Taylor Swift to me, because it is very autobiographical and does have all these references to some of her other songs, but also personal references. So I don't know, maybe it felt sort of sentimental to me.
Yeah, sure.
But I also loved that there was all this stuff about the clues and were there clues I didn't see? It's just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string. So I loved
tying
already
you to
the
me.
Beginning.
Yes, this
what's meant to be and all that.
Yeah.
But then she does. I like when she gets a little dark, like acknowledging that, yes. you know, there's a lot of bruises and pain from her past. Like
her golden axe. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It says a string that pulled me out of all the wrong arms right into that dive bar, which we all know mm-hmm. is where she met Joe.
Yes.
Something wrapped all of my past mistakes in barbed wire, chains around my demons, wool to brave the seasons. One single thread of gold tied me to you. So it's like oh, it took all the yes, bad stuff, right? Yes. And locked it up, kind yes. of. So hell was the journey that brought it, but it brought me heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, just this idea I had to go through all this. But then when I met you, the string, it just sort of wrapped up all the bad stuff and kept it away. And yeah. I thought it was a really beautiful song. Yes. I did. And I think because we've been talking so much about the fate versus free will, mm-hmm. that's what really also got me on.
Definitely. Yeah. I definitely that pulled me into. I wouldn't have picked that. I wouldn't have picked one I do want to talk about for a second, Betty. Which also you just said
There's a lot out there about Betty.
There is a lot about Betty. But it was that it felt very old school Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Like if that yes. 16 or 15 15
yeah
mm-hmm. That song or the one with Ed Sheeran, Everything Has Changed, it's had a very kind of country poppy folksy, you know, beat that reminded me of old Taylor Swift but also very new. But yes, but I really have to talk about the names because she outed her BFF yes. Blake Lively yes. who had yet yes. to announce their third daughter's name. And yes. first of all, when the rumors started, it was like, people think she outed the name. And I was like, there's no way they named their third daughter Betty. I mean, what right. are these names? So Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively have three daughters, and they are Taylor Swift uses all of them. And they right. are James is their oldest daughter, mm-hmm. then Inez, and then Betty.
Betty Elizabeth, or is it Betty? Well, it doesn't matter.
It's a good question. But who even cares? If that's her nickname, I mean, I don't think she would say Betty if they're not calling her Betty. You're right. It yes. might be that her name is Elizabeth, but they're calling. So it's James, Inez, and Betty. Do those, you know how they have on like Nameberry or whatever. It's mm-hmm. like names that sound good with, you know, the siblings.
Oh, yeah, but these
name.
Celebrities, everything goes out the window when it comes to
I don't think so. I think they
them.
Still do try to have them all sound mm-hmm. like those are siblings, but James
sometimes.
The girl and well I guess
Jessica anyone who Simpson, named a girl James is already doing something off the beaten path.
Not well that but that's personal because Blake was
I know
is a boy's yeah. name so
yes
mm-hmm. and she and her sister is Robin, which was also a boy's name, so mm-hmm. I get
she
that.
To do that
yeah but then Inez and then Betty, I'm confused. I was like, there's no truth to that. Now, stupid but me, don't ever.
Is it true?
It is.
I yeah. read that. Okay, it has been confirmed.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah. We have like yet to get to any one of my songs, so I'm gonna make it kind of quick.
No, you did, Mad Woman.
Oh yes, yes. And, okay. Yeah, Seven and My Tears Ricochet. Maybe I'll put those okay. together because they both to me have a very similar vibe. I kind of get Dido. And or Sarah mm-hmm. McLachlan feel from those
yeah.
from both of them. And My Tears Ricochet, that those opening vocals, holy shit, I mean yeah. it just blew me away. So when I put this on, I started it on shuffle and the album, I downloaded the whole album
oh
and then put it on
God,
shuffle.
How can you do that?
And
do
that
you always do that?
That was the first one that came up and I actually started it. And the music started and her ooing started. And I was like, I looked down. I'm like, I hit the wrong thing. Like, what right. is going on? And then I looked down and I was like, no, this is Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah.
oh my gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, just beautiful. And do you get that, like, Dido, Sarah McLachlan?
Yes.
Like, fumbling yes. towards ecstasy?
I think on more than just on that one, I get that from.
Yeah, well.
The whole vibe.
Yeah, I think My Tears Ricochet, Seven, and Hoax a little bit, too.
Even This Is Me Trying, when that first starts.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's very, like, disturbing, kind of haunting. Yes, too.
But beautiful, yeah.
Beautiful. I've had a hard time adjusting, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, haven't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that one starts.
Yes,
I'm just like, yes. Yeah, I
can
feel
relate.
You.
Yes. But on 7, which I think would be one, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I love that she says, now listen. I'm not thinking that Taylor Swift really listened to our Miss Americana episode, but we talked a lot about Saturn's return, and there is a lyric in there, I love you to the moon, which is a very common phrase, except she added, I love you to the moon and Saturn.
And to Saturn. Mm-hmm.
Finally, her Saturn's return moment, like we talked about Gwen Stefani singing about and other people have included in their lyrics, she's got a Saturn reference in there, which I just love. I was very happy. I was very happy to hear. I'm like, this is just, the whole album just felt like such redemption, such rebirth. Like, this is, it just felt like a very unafraid Taylor Swift. She was going to say whatever she needed to say, not to be mean, not to be a jerk, but also maybe not to exclusively sell albums. Now, usually that's what happens. So, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Surrender. Once you don't care anymore about that as being your number one priority and you really speak authentically and write what you have to write from some deeper, visceral, primal place.
Yes.
Everyone loves it. And this
is like writing from your womb.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, but wait. The last one we can't say nothing about the duet.
We've got to talk about a few more, don't worry.
Oh my God. okay, all right.
No.
Exile.
With Bon
Iver.
Oh, yes.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And at first, when he comes in, I'm like, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then her, but when the two of them come together,
first of all. Like 2 minutes in is.
2 minutes in, exactly. Yeah. But let's just say, this should be the Normal People theme song.
Ooh.
This is Marianne and Connell. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
About a relationship of miscommunication and missing each other.
Absolutely.
And you never gave me a warning sign. I gave you so many signs. Like the whole thing.
I never learned to read your mind. You never read my mind. Oh, my God. Yes.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, this is I them. Love it even more now. Oh,
right?
My
this
gosh.
Is all I was picturing. Now, of course, this one is about an infidelity, but whatever. Connell and Marianne had a lot of, you know, ups and downs like this, but it's mostly about how two people just miss each other.
Yes.
And like,
and
then
what happened?
Back on their relationship. Yes. What happened?
How did I get here?
How did I get here? And this distance, and why am I looking back? You were my home. Like, you were my country, and now I'm in exile. And I don't know what. Like, how did I get here? Why am I alone on the island? Yes. And what did we do wrong? And I'm just like, if Marianne and Connell could sing, I'm sure they can.
They can, right?
They can.
Daisy and Paul,
yeah,
for sure.
Daisy
they
and
anything.
Paul can sing.
Yes.
I would like pay money for them.
Oh my God.
In character to sing Exile together as a duet.
So good.
That's where I get my Normal People in. There you go.
I love that. Love that. It's so perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I listened to it on shuffle. So this song came up one of the last for me. And I had been hearing Taylor's beautiful voice for so long and that I heard this really deep voice. And I was like, what is this? And I actually had forgotten. It was the song I was looking forward to the most because I love Bon Iver. And I was like, what is this? And then he just keeps going and she comes in and they change their, I'm not a singer, so they change their whatever tone or register. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So many times where she kind of goes lower and he goes higher and it's just gorgeous. But then the rounds at the end where.
Yes. And about you're right, like about halfway through it is.
It
just like opens up.
Oh my gosh.
And the two of them are in in a
conversation. Yes. But not at all. Not at all.
No. Because they're Marianne and Connell. See? So now I want you to listen to it again,
thinking of those two. I will. There's no doubt the lyrics on this album are just mind blowing.
My last one I wanted to just mention was Peace. Did you? I just thought that one. I really do think that is personal for her. Meaning, like, if you're gonna be with her, you know, there's never really gonna be peace. You know, like she can give a lot, but you know, it's like sort of like a more realistic love song to me. Yeah. But I'm fire, and I'll keep your brittle heart warm. If your cascade, ocean, wave, blues come, all these people think love's for show, but I would die for you in secret. The devil's in the details, but you got a friend in me. Would it be enough if I could never give you peace? Mm-hmm. And like this idea, she says it several times, like, would it be enough? Like, you're just, it's never, I'll give you my wild, I'll give you a child, mm-hmm. I'll give you the silence that only comes when two people understand each other. I give you my sunshine, give you my best, but the rain is always going to come if you're standing with me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, and is that going to be okay for you? Like, is it going to be enough? Because you're not going to get with her, in a relationship with her, you're not going to get peace.
Yeah. I mean, this song spoke to me very personally. Right? This is definitely.
Even if you're not Taylor Swift, yes. There are people. That's why I actually thought this one would for you.
Yes. Like, oh, no, for sure.
With certain relationships, like, I can give you a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful, wonderful things. But peace and tranquility just might not be one of them.
No, it's not. And it's my, I mean, this is definitely something for me and my husband. This is definitely just a fundamental kind of source of tension, and not necessarily tension can hold things together too, right? But it's this constant back and forth of that is definitely never going to get peace with me. I'm always changing. I'm always trying to, as my daughter says, level up. I'm always doing the next thing, and he will not ever have peace in our relationship.
Right. That's unsettling to some people. Yeah,
for him, absolutely. And yes. Yes.
That's why I thought you would like this one.
No, I do.
For that reason, definitely. Yeah. And that's why, like, Invisible Strings is really sort of the love song on it. But to me, like I said, this is like more of the realistic song, like, of what it's really like to be in a relationship, particularly with a certain type of person. And she is that type of person. And she's like, hey, listen. But it's beautiful too.
Yes.
Like, I'll give you my child. I'll give you my wild.
Yes.
Like,
you're like,
yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. That's awesome. I'll give you my wild. Like, so I don't know. I thought that was really beautiful, that song.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I love it. And also it's unsettling for people, for certain people. But when you get past the kind of the initial hesitation, or like, this doesn't make me comfortable. We've talked about on other episodes, like, my husband does not like to move. He hates goodbyes. He hates endings. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't want anything to be over. And I am the kind of person that needs to, like, move every 2 years. So sometimes, even in our own neighborhood, sometimes 3,000 miles away. But it's always unsettling for him. But as we've done this enough, when he looks past the kind of the very surface level disruption that it brings to his life, I think he realizes, and I am speaking for him a little here, so I might get it wrong, but I think he realizes it's worth it. All the rest of the stuff. That's it.
We need to get to the chicks.
The chicks. Yes. So
can I just ask you before we get to the chicks, course. Do you know, as between the chicks or Taylor Swift, do you know who's won more Grammys? Fun fact. I wanted to look this up. Who would you think?
I would definitely think it was Taylor Swift.
It's not.
Based on your question, I was like, oh my God, yes. But wow.
So Taylor Swift has won 10 total Grammys, including Album of the Year for 1989 and for Fearless. The Chicks have won 13 Grammys, including 5 in 2007 for that Taking a Long Way, and that's got Not Ready to Make Nice on it, which is like their redemption song.
Yes, it is.
And like, great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Chicks are the best-selling female band of all time.
Wow. Very
cool. For people
who,
by the way, have not put an album out in 14 years. So this new album, I mean, that's a long break. And to still hold that title is pretty crazy.
It is. Yes. I did not know that. That is crazy. I started to like them when they started to get in trouble. with the public image. You know, I like anybody standing up for themselves. You know, it's always, their original base is all about free speech, unless it's them saying, three women saying something they don't like. And then it's like, well, no more free speech because we're canceling you. We find you annoying now.
Exactly.
It's just bullshit. It's always crazy. This is what I have to say about anyone who doesn't like people who break rules. Whose rules are we playing by?
Are they, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, well, this is what pisses me off too, because like I said, I am a fan of country music, but anyone who is knows that the thing you say about country music is it's about the truth. It's three chords and the truth. That's the expression of country music. But apparently it's only the truth you agree with, yeah, or the truth you want to hear. No, the whole point of country music is to tell your truth, to tell the story. But I guess the critics would say, well, she wasn't telling it in a song. She said it on stage.
Right.
At a concert, on foreign soil. Right. Never understood that one either, because she criticized Bush in London as opposed to Lubbock, Texas, where that was blasphemy.
Right.
But anyway. Right. But yes, that was in 2003. So you started liking them after that. And then that album was their most successful, which I think is awesome. Taking the Long Road.
I love Easy Silence. Oh, that song.
Oh,
I
my God. That is such a good song.
Such a good song.
And can we just talk about astrology before we get
to the album? God. Because, Kate, look at you. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Just so
we've already talked about astrology. But
we have. So we all know the Taylor is a Sagittarius.
She is.
I mean, the Archer. And I say that like we all know that.
Yes.
Well, we do. But you should if you don't.
I mean, if you've listened to.
You're not a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Then you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Yes. So she is a fire sign. We are fire signs. Mm-hmm. So we've always, like with Taylor, been like, yeah, she's our girl, right?
Yes.
And we've learned from your tallying up of all the female creators that we've covered on this, that Sagittarius is the number one sign, meaning the most number of female creators we've covered on here.
That's right.
Have been Sagittarius.
That's right. By far.
The chicks. I know, by far. The chicks.
I'm like Natalie, on the edge of my seat, Kate. Please.
Well, it's interesting.
Don't Natalie start with Natalie.
Is a
don't start with Natalie
because she's the lead singer.
Yeah, she's the best. I only want to hear hers. Drag it out, Kate.
Emily, with the long brown hair, is a Leo.
Oh,
my sign.
Okay, fire sign.
Her sister Marty is a Libra.
Oh, your rising sign. Your sun sign and your rising sign.
And Natalie is a Libra.
Oh,
so basically they're me combined.
My God. Yes. That's
so
amazing.
Yes, my sun and my moon are Leo, and my rising, or how I present to the world, is Libra.
Oh my God.
So
you are part of the Dixie Chicks.
Combination. Yes, the chicks. Yes.
Yes, the chicks. Thank you. Yes.
And we don't talk about the Libra that much because we are, you know, we usually talk more about our fire signs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Libra is an air sign. They're diplomatic, peacekeepers, you know, the scales of justice.
Yes.
They have a very strong sense of justice, and they want to make sure everyone gets heard. They're passionate about making things fair and balanced.
Yes.
They're idealistic. Mm-hmm. They always prefer to look on the bright side. I feel as if the chicks, a lot of their messages here and speaking out and what's fair and what's right. I don't know them personally, but Libras are super social. They're the most extroverted of the astrological signs. They love being with people.
Interesting.
This all speaks to me, as you know.
Absolutely.
It makes perfect sense. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting that they're my combo.
I love that. And we don't talk about rising signs enough because I am Aries sun sign and Aries rising. So for me it's always the same. Yes. But we found out, Kate, that Aries rising and Libra rising have a very special connection in the charts. They're 6 months that they're like the halfway points of the astrology circle, I guess. So they they have an interesting dynamic. But I love that. Oh my gosh.
Yes. I know. It's so cool.
Yes. Very fun.
So the chicks. I mean, should we talk about the name change or do it, I mean, obviously.
I mean, it was probably a long time coming. I'm glad they finally did it.
It was. And that's what, you know, I listened to Natalie Maines on Howard Stern, and, you know, she's like, we've always hated that name. and not because of the, you know, the whole, the Dixie and the racial issue. She's Southern, like, yeah. It was just a stupid name. She's like, when she joined the band,
that's right.
The sisters were, Emily and Marty were teenagers in like a band, and they just like, they thought it was a stupid name. They picked it based on some little feet song called Dixie Chicken because they needed a name like 5 seconds before they went out on stage. Yeah. And then they were like, well, that's stupid. We don't want to be chickens. So then it became Dixie Chicks. But then they became so successful that then they couldn't change it. Right. You know, then you just become, it becomes bigger than you.
Yes.
But then, you know, she said they've wanted to change it for years. And then people were coming to concerts with the Dixie flag or the someone that a Dixie swastika. And they didn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And then, so of course now people are like, oh, they only changed it now because they're bowing to all the pressure that everybody feels. And they're like, yeah, this was just a good reason to, but we've wanted to change it forever. So,
right. Well, but actually, like you said, they haven't had a new album in 14 years.
14
were they just
going
to be like, just change it in the middle? You're like, hey, I know we're not putting out any music or doing anything that you care about consuming, but just FYI, we're changing our name. No, this
But I guess there was some criticism that they've had. Even they knew they were doing this album and putting it out, and all the marketing materials and everything was under Dixie Chicks. And they only sort of midway through this launch they just change it.
Okay.
But I think, in fairness, again, to them, that's what they were known by.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, to change it. But then Howard gave him all this shit. He's like, but isn't Chicks offensive to women? And she was like, no, I think being a chick is like cool, like a badass.
Yes.
Like, no, it's not like calling someone like a broad or something. Right. He's like, all right.
Yeah. I've had that not argument, but I've had that discussion many times, and I've written in stories that I've written, oh, you're like a cool chick or something, and people do think it's demeaning or whatever. I happen to like it. It's one of those that I happen to think is
right.
Yeah, I like it, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and you know how Taylor has like a lot of imagery about like the witches and like you know, people coming after women like that, and it was so interesting because they were talking in a New York Times article, and someone said that they liken them to like the energy of witches who couldn't be burned. And I was like, oh, these two, there's like all these overlaps between them.
I know. Yes.
I know,
which makes sense.
So Gaslighter,
yes, that's
Gaslighter.
Right.
Gaslighter.
Oh, so many good songs on this one.
So we know that it is centered on Natalie Maine's divorce.
Yes.
I mean, at least that's clearly a lot of the inspiration for it. She was married to the Heroes actor Adrian Pazdar.
Which I knew nothing about him. I knew nothing about their marital stuff until this album came out. And I was like,
well, now you know.
Oh, no. I was like Googling obsessively. Like, what? What is this? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, the album is so brutally honest that he tried to block its release based on the confidentiality clause in their prenup.
Yeah.
And it almost worked. I mean, and honestly, she can't impress really talk that much about anything.
Right.
Because she was joking with Howard. She's like, yeah, we'll save that for the judge. And he's like, no, seriously, like, do you think you'll go to court over this? She's like, no, we really have. I mean, it took her 2.5 years to get divorced.
I
it
know.
Is resolved. But, you know, she always, of course, worries about, you know, breaching the NDA.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But she's very clear to say, listen, there are 5 or 6 divorces between the three of them. I mean, I think each one of them has been divorced at least once.
Wow.
Natalie twice. One of them might be, I think there might be another one of them that's divorced twice. There are also other writers on it. It's not just
them. Yeah,
so, you know, she's like, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
I will say,
she goes, I
was the one, though, literally going through it in real time.
Yeah.
So, of course, they've all been through similar things.
Yes.
But, like, this is my story. And she's like, it was my boat, okay?
Yeah.
She's like, the boat is mine. And he's like, okay.
Gosh.
So, but. Listen, it is so deeply personal.
Yeah.
Well, very raw. I mean, just...
Yeah. Sleep.
You're in therapy with her,
yes,
basically.
Sleep at Night was the first one that made me... Like, I was... Well, first, Gaslighter, I guess, came out. And it came, the stories that came out right when the single came out were, yeah, this is essentially about Natalie Maine's ex-husband. I mean, that, yeah, just, like, came right out with it. I wasn't in love with that song. I do like it, but I wasn't as in love with it. Sleep at Night was the one that made me start, yeah, Googling everything. It's just a great song, first of all.
It's so good.
Yes, like the music, the way, it's so good. And then, and the lyrics, oof. I don't know how you managed to, like, the my husband's
got
girlfriend.
Got a call from my, yeah, husband's girlfriend's husband. Yeah,
how,
my husband's girlfriend's husband.
Yeah, my husband's girlfriend's husband just called me up. Isn't, how crazy is that?
How messed,
yeah, how messed up is that? I mean, yeah, and the way she said, it's like, that, and you're like, wait, yeah, what? What? Like, first of all, it sounds so cool. And second of all, what did you just say? Oh, I was obsessed, yeah, after that. I'm like, I need to know more about this.
Wait until, yeah, and then you get a little more. Wait, remember you brought her to our show at the Hollywood Bowl? And I'm like, oh, shit. Yes. Damn, snap. Did he really?
Backstage.
Right.
And the girl said, oh, I'm such a fan. I love you.
I love you. I'm such a fan.
Oh, my God.
And of course, you know, their fans have now, like not, they're not as obsessive as Taylor Swift fans, yeah, but people have figured out that they found a picture of the woman that her ex is now with on her social media at that holding with her daughter from the concert at the Hollywood Bowl, holding up the ticket, and she's like Dixie Chick fan number one. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
she was there. She was at the concert.
That is insane. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess I said I Googled obsessively. Apparently not enough. I have to go find that.
She said, I love you. I'm such a fan. I joke that you can love me as long as you don't love my man.
Yes.
There's nothing funny about that. Yeah. And Howard asked her that. He's like, did you really say that to her? Did you say that to the woman? Of course she can't really answer.
Right.
She's sort of like, well, you know, but
no,
clearly I'm sure she said something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite.
I think that's definitely one of my favorites.
Just for the storytelling,
I
and also
like
just
Gaslighter,
the music. Yeah, I just like the music.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, you
I
did
do.
It. Yeah,
I did like Gaslighter when it first came out. I mean, I just think it's like such. I just think it's like such a banger. You know, I'm just like, I don't know, but the lines in that too are pretty aggressive.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, so we should say, like, Gaslighter. So when that song came out, they said it was going to be the title of the album. And I was telling someone, and I was just so surprised. I told you this, how many people didn't know the term Gaslighter.
I know.
And I was like, really? And then at the time, I was like, aren't you people listening to the Dixie Chicks? How do you not know what Gaslighter is? Or how did you not look it up?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, so for another podcast we were talking about gaslighting, and I did a little dive into the history of the term.
Right.
But it is a form of psychological manipulation in which a person or group covertly sows seeds of doubt in a targeted individual, making them question their own memory, beliefs, and judgments. It's just essentially a form of emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And the history, do you want to hear the history?
Yes, I do.
So the
because I had thought it was just like, you know, kind of a take on throwing gas on a fire. You know, that's gonna make it worse. But there's a real history.
Yeah.
So tell me.
There's a real history. So the phrase originated from a 1938 mystery thriller written by a British playwright called Gaslight, and it was made into a popular movie in 1944 starring Ingrid Bergman.
Oh.
And yeah, in the film, the husband, Gregory, manipulates his adoring, trusting wife, Paula, into believing she can no longer trust her own perceptions of reality. In one pivotal scene, Gregory causes the gas lights in the house to flicker by turning them on in the attic of the house. Yet when Paula asks why the gas lights are flickering, he insists it's not really happening and that it's all in her mind, causing her to doubt her self-perception.
Oh.
Hence the term gaslighting.
Wow.
Yes, and now the term was super popular during Donald Trump's inauguration.
Yes.
So much so that the Oxford Dictionary named it the most popular word of 2018.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So I thought that it was had really seeped into the lexicon,
right.
But I do think a lot of people use it with politicians.
Yes.
But it is, I think, often used in relationships. And so she did say that gaslighter wasn't a word. You know, there's gaslight or gaslighting, okay. But they needed it to be a noun.
Yeah. I usually think of it, I don't know why I thought of it in connection with sexual assault. And I know, and I know I've definitely read it plenty in relation to I May Destroy You. But even before that, oh my gosh, why am I totally, Christine the doctor. The one who, oh my God, I'm totally blanking on their names. The one who testified against the Supreme Court justice who assaulted
her. Oh my God. Matt, oh my God, I can see her face.
But yeah, me too. I could totally see her face with her hand up. But anyway,
what
all right,
is wrong with
I know. I'm just going to cut this out. I remember it coming up a lot with that trial as well, the Supreme Court nomination. But that was when. So yeah, political, I guess, or political adjacent. I guess it was because of his nomination. But yeah,
right.
Yeah. But and so maybe that's why I thought of it as sexual assault. But really, it's in the political realm. So they're, I guess, tied together for me. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, she talks in the lyrics in that. I mean, obviously, she's calling him, you know, you're sorry, but where's my apology? Doing anything to get your ass further? Because, boy, you know exactly what you did on your boat, which was my boat reference earlier. Mm-hmm. Save your tired stories for your new someone else. Had to burn it up. Had to tear it down. Tried to say I'm crazy. Babe, we know I'm not crazy. That's you. That's the gaslighting part. But I love the part where her voice gets really soft. Mm. And she just, and it, like they strip out all the rest and she just says like, gaslighter, I'm your mirror, standing right here until you can see how you broke me. Yeah, I'm broken. And then it's like, you're still sorry.
Right.
And no apology. but that you broke me, I'm broken. Like that part, oh, when I first heard it, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
But you made, that's what first got me interested in it,
right,
because I wanted, then like you said, it's news started coming out about what it was really about. So then yes, when the full album came out and Sleep at Night, I was like, oh shit, like that's a great great song. But that's where you get more of the details,
yes, of what, or allegedly,
yeah,
I mean, it just
exactly.
came to me, Christine Ford,
oh yes,
but anyway, go
thank
ahead
you.
Yeah.
So the next one I love, which is the next one on the album, is Texas Man.
Yeah.
And that I love because it's that one is hopeful to me.
Because
it's post-divorce. She's now ready to move on. It's like, for me, I think as an over 40 woman, like trying to start her life now. In the dating world and what she's looking for. You know, she says it's been way too long since somebody's body was tangled with mine. But this is my favorite. So she says, everybody wants top market, but I'm a little bit unraveled, right? Because she's like, I'm not like, I'm a little unraveled.
Yes.
Like, I'm not some perfect
right.
young,
yes.
like, person. I got baggage.
Yes.
Like, everybody wants the new model, but I'm a little more traveled. Mm-hmm. And I loved the way that, not I'm old,
yes.
not I got it. Like, I'm just
a little
traveled.
Yes.
But if you've got the strength, I do, then sign me up. If I'm not too much for you, then sign me up.
Yes.
Sign me up. I'm a little bit unraveled, but I'm ready. And I love that. If I'm not too much for you, because of course, you know, she's like, we talk about it all the time. Like, I'm a lot. I might be too much for some,
yes,
but
yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
right?
Yes.
And then I love when she says, I could use a Texas man who's not afraid to take his time. He's got to have patient hands because the way to my heart is through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought and of course, Howard Stern is so funny. He's like, he thought it was pessimistic at first because he's like, you know, what do you mean? So your body's traveled, all right. So you've had a couple kids. I'm like, Howard, she's not talking about like, meaning her body is old. But anyway, he was like, she did explain, which is how I took it, which is no, like that's me being hopeful.
Right.
Like, you know, she's like, I don't know. I don't even know how to flirt anymore. I don't know how to do anything anymore. It's been 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, so. But I just love like her saying she's ready. So I thought that was, and I just think it's a great song.
Oh, I like that. That's one of those, again, like the story behind it gives it so much more meaning to me. because I thought it was fine. Yeah. I like it, but that's so much richer to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
What's one you like? You want to talk about...
Well, March. Yeah, March was the one that got me into the album, I think.
Yeah.
You sent it to me, and it's just a great anthem, right? It's just so... Yes. The beat, oh my gosh, is just so, like, you can't... It's, like, such a good pump-up kind of song, right?
Yeah.
And I'm an army of one. I feel like that sometimes. Yeah. Like putting up, like suiting up for battle, like ready to take on the world. And sometimes that's how it feels. And the song obviously touches on, it does feel a little forced sometimes. It takes on really everything. Guns, underfunded schools, reproductive, you know, threats.
The Women's March.
Yeah.
Climate
warming. Change. Yes, exactly. I mean, it really does kind of take on everything, which dilutes it a little bit. But just to me, it's just the beat and the song. It's a little slightly problematic, but it is just such a great beat, and it gets under your skin and just makes me feel like, when I put it on, I will listen to it a lot during my walk, and I just feel like I'm like, yes, I will overcome whatever needs to be overcome. I will do it.
Yeah. And I wonder, I sent that to you when the video came out. So, and the video, you know, has all that imagery of all the things you mentioned. And I wonder if I'd heard the song first, just, you know, without seeing the imagery. I don't know. Like, that's so...
I never saw the video. I believe you that you say you... Maybe you totally did, but I... A lot of times,
or maybe I just
a lot of times, whatever you send me isn't compatible with my phone, so I just look it up myself.
I
only listened to the song, but I did hear
should watch the video.
Well, then. I did hear that they
added the list of names of Black victims of the police shootings, which they got a little grief for too. That in a song that was already political and, as you said, covered a lot of topics, that then they decided to, you know, shoehorn that in. Yeah. But I mean, I'm like, people, they wrote the song before the Black Lives Matter movement. You're criticizing them for not writing
Although
about
most
something that
of
hadn't
the,
happened
yeah,
yet.
But most of those deaths had already happened. It is slightly problematic, the timing, the dilution of it, but still, it's just a good song. Like, use it.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorites. And then another one of my favorites is Set Me Free, which just kind of, you know, the lyrics are good, but it just, the whole idea of it really kind of got me thinking. You know, you always think of, like, the one that breaks up with someone as, like, the heartbreaker. And, like, you broke up with me. You let me go, you know. But this is kind of her begging, set me free, let me go. And it just got me thinking, like, what if you're breaking up with someone and it's doing them a favor, right? Like, you're setting them free to go on a new path, a different way that they need to go on. And I just thought that was so interesting that I had never thought about it in that way. And there's,
meaning what he did to her ultimately is setting her free.
No. Just in general, someone, if you break up with someone, sometimes you're doing the kind thing by doing that, by setting them free, because for whatever reason, I'm not talking about that at all. Just in general, like, you could be, when you break up with someone, it's usually, you hear stories of heartbreak, right? This person broke my heart, but you don't really hear the angle of they let me go and I was free right after that.
I know, and I love that, and I don't know why people don't look at it more from that perspective.
It's interesting.
Or when people break up, like, they're always like, oh, that's so sad,
right?
And that's like, but what if it's not sad?
Right. What if now you're
what
free?
If it's better for those people, right? Like, she does say in here, oh, the weight of this hate was exhausting.
Yeah.
You risked my body, broke my spirit, and still I've let you go. Like, if they were in a relationship that clearly, you know,
was not good. Yes.
Mistrust, and there was hate, and there was this, like, yes, it's, on, you know, it ended, but I mean, like, that's, she's now been set free.
Yes, it's for the
probably
best.
For the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that point in their relationship, for sure. But just, I just liked that perspective of like someone almost begging. Because, you know, what I've maybe realized later in life is not everyone is meant to be the person, you know, maybe with the fixed signs and realizing this part of it, like maybe not everyone is meant to be the person who breaks up with someone. That's usually my role. So I have never really seen it. And I've always been cast as like the heartbreaker, or the man eater, or the one who ruins someone's lives. So we've joked about it enough on the Jessica
dumper,
Simpson.
Not the dumpy.
Yeah, the Jessica Simpson open book episode. But I just thought this was such an interesting way that like maybe the other person wanted it to be over as well, and just a different perspective, one that I hadn't really thought of, and it's just beautiful.
It's
sad. Really beautiful. It's like a sad beautiful, but it's still beautiful.
There's a lot of sad beautiful.
Yeah, too, made me think of Little Fires Everywhere and being released from a cage and set me free, and I love that.
I do too. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Speaking of sad and beautiful is my other pick, which is Young Man.
Mm.
Oh, that poignant song to her boys.
Yes.
She has two boys. They're 16 and 19. And this is a letter basically to them where she prays that, you know, she hasn't let them down through, you know, her own feelings of betrayal and the divorce and everything. But, you know, and it is very personal, that one. She makes no bones about that. But I think just for any mother or parent, even if you haven't been through a divorce, just wondering if you're doing it right, if you've said the right things, if you're putting your baggage or your shit on them, and whether you're sort of burdening them. And I love, she says, "You're of me, not mine. Yeah. Walk your own crooked line. I promise you'll be fine. Take the best parts of him as your own life begins. Leave the bad news behind." Yeah. And then when she says, "I've done my best, the best I know how to do, and my blues aren't your blues. Mm-hmm. It's up to you."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like at the end of the day, they're going to live their own lives.
Yeah.
And they can take the good and the bad. But like, my shit's not your shit.
Yes.
So, and we all worry about that. Like I said, I think even if you haven't been through a divorce, just like, what am I putting on my children?
Yeah.
And I thought this, when I hear that this one, it's hard for me to make through without crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, oh God, maybe because I have two boys. I don't know, but it's heavy, you know, but it's also, I don't know. I guess it's just the part where she's just like, "I've done the best I know how to do."
Yes.
It. And you're just like, listen, that's all anybody can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a rough one.
It
is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But then there's a fun one.
Okay, what is it?
The Tights on My Boat.
Oh,
this is just funny.
Yes.
I just wanted to talk about. I think it's fun. I didn't think this one was kind of snarky enough for me. She does say you're going to get what you got coming to you over and over again. But, you know, it wasn't written by, they're co-writers on it, but it was mostly written by Julia Michaels, who most people know, of course. Amazing in and of her own right, their own songs, but you know, she's a songwriter for so many hits.
Mm-hmm.
So many. So she actually, this was her song, really. So that's why Natalie Maines told Howard, she's like, "There were no tights on the boat, just so you know."
My God.
That part, she's like, "Listen, I didn't say there wasn't a boat,
right?
I didn't say something didn't go down on a boat, it just wasn't tights."
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So you know, Howard, he's like, "It was panties, wasn't it?" "It was panties." She's like, "Easy, Howard."
Oh my God.
But she said that really she heard the first line again of a Julia Michaels song, she was working with them, and it was, "I hope you die peacefully in your sleep. Just kidding. I hope it hurts like you hurt me."
Oh,
and that
shit.
was a line from Julia Michaels, which then she said, "Can we have this song? Like, we got to have this song." Like, she knew immediately the story she wanted to write. And before Julia Michaels even agreed, she had already rewritten the song, and that's with the tights and everything. But it really came from a Julia Michaels line.
Right.
That is the opening line of the song. So I thought that was very cool. And it's a fun song, I think.
Yeah, that makes me think of, you know, I think the Taylor Swift peace song, the What You Were Getting At, I totally you know, that totally speaks to me. But the song I'd pick for it to represent that, just to come full circle here, is the Julia Michaels Issues. I love that. I got issues. You got them too.
You got them too.
Yes, give yours to me and I'll give mine to you. That's my jam. That's my vibe.
She is a great songwriter.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I am obsessed. And you know, I enjoy her album very much, but I love finding her on other people's albums.
Yes.
Like some stuff she's written with Shawn Mendes. Yeah.
She wrote Selena Gomez. Did You Love Me?
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those are, those are
huge
good songs.
Hits. And huge hits.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of Julia Michaels. Very big fan. And way before
her own stuff came
out. And way before coronavirus, the pandemic, when now If the World Was Ending is like the most popular song ever.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks the world is ending.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But I loved that song long before that. It's a good one. She's brilliant. She really is.
Really.
So is that all for the songs?
Yeah. You know, I think we've picked the highlights.
Yeah. And then some. I mean, there's everything could be a highlight. You could talk about every aspect of this. I wanted to go back to one thing that we talked about on Miss Americana that Taylor Swift had talked about. This isn't a what she said, but I guess we don't have segments here, but I guess if it was, this would be where we would talk about what she said and how she said, this is her quote, "I wish I didn't feel like there's a better version of me out there. I feel like that all the time." And when she said that on Miss Americana, I was like, I didn't really love that because, you know, to me, again, now I know this is the cardinal sign of me, by the way. I love that I know that there are better versions out there of me. In fact, if I felt like there wasn't a better version of me out there, I don't know how I particularly would go on living.
Yeah, and because you want something to aspire
to.
And you would think that you were done, if you will.
Exactly. And I've had success as a lawyer, working in-house at financial institutions, raising little kids, writing this podcast now. I am, you know, the feeling, and it's very specifically, the feeling that there is a better version of me out there is literally my fuel, like the thing that keeps me going in life. So I hope that she has maybe embraced this a little now, maybe that she's done with her Saturn's return, because that folklore feels like she embraced that there might be a better version of her out there, and she kind of like internalized it and just regurgitated this kind of incredible album done under pressure, but also no pressure because no one was looking at her. So it was pressure, but no outside pressure. And it just all came from this like really deep place in her.
And no pressure to make it perfect and to have it be the right timing.
And
this production video that'll be the first single and all of that.
And she knew in her gut that this was what she needed to put out and when and how, and this was it. And I think it's one of the best versions of her we've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Right? And I know I just said that we didn't do segments, but we talked about adding who won the movie, book, TV show.
How about
who won the albums? I'll go because I sprung this on you just now, but for the chicks, I'm gonna go with the Hollywood Bowl because that lyric is just so good, right? It stands out. But for Taylor Swift's album, I'm going with Cardigan, and here's where I make a do you know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't.
I May Destroy You.
Oh,
did
my
you know
God.
There are legitimate Cardigan theories on I May Destroy You?
No.
Yeah. So no one has come forward with a single coherent theory, but they all revolve around cardigans and being that they're like this traditionally masculine, you know, you think of Mr. Rogers, or you definitely think of it as a menswear piece. But good, you know, these keen fans have noticed that Arabella is wearing a cardigan in every key moments. Like when she's drugged and raped, she's wearing one. And when she calls out Zane, and then I don't know the others because we haven't seen them yet, but apparently there's people have seen the whole series now realize that there are cardigans. Arabella is wearing a cardigan in almost every key scene. And it's maybe an arc of healing. Like it happens, she's wearing one when the horrible thing happens to her, and she's wearing one at each point of healing. But, you know, it's also a traditionally masculine thing that she's wearing kind of in feminine ways, like oversized or pulling off the shoulder or bold feminine right. colors, florals. And so she's kind of making it her own. And I did read, all I read was that she gives all of her credit to the costume designer, Lindsay Moore, because she was like, I don't get it. But now, in this interview, she was like, but now here I am. Like, this was weeks later. The show is wrapped in her personal house. And she's like, at the moment of this interview, I'm wearing one right now. And then, obviously, Taylor Swift's got a song
cardigan.
Called Cardigan, mm-hmm. which is technically her first single. She did the video yeah. for it. So here's what I'm saying. There's definitely cardigan in the air, right? And
well,
according to Miranda Priestly, right, every Andy will be wearing a cerulean blue cardigan in 3 years. That's my prediction.
Now you've even worked in
Amores
Rata. You're kidding me right now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy though? That connection. And cardigans on women.
Yes. Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh my gosh.
She just posted, and this is what's so crazy. Is it the same one that Taylor's wearing? I don't know. She says, thank you for the cardigan and the beautiful, intricate, mystical new album at Taylor Swift. Your ability to create unbounded and ever-growing music is the most inspiring. And she's wearing, I guess, Taylor sent her this. I mean, she's wearing the cardigan.
Oh
and
gosh.
I was just thinking, my God, are like cardigans like a thing? Or is it just because Taylor sent her this cardigan?
Oh,
and I'm like,
oh, it's a thing. It's a thing.
It's, yeah. Oh, my God. So I forgot we were doing I Won the...
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I wasn't ready.
No.
I think for Taylor's...
Yeah.
It's her gut.
I love that.
I've been, and like I said to you when the first post came out, I was excited that it was new music, but I was so pumped
taken
by her
the way she
message.
Described it.
Yes. That her gut was telling her to do something. And I do think from everything we know about Taylor Swift, I'm not likening myself to her, but she's clearly very meticulous and organized mm-hmm. and detail oriented mm-hmm. and orchestrates everything
yes.
and wants so much control
yes.
over so many aspects of her music
yes.
and her public image and everything. It's one of the things that makes her as successful as she is mm-hmm. but and I can relate to that, but I've been trying to be more in touch with the gut and listening to where your energy
mm-hmm.
takes you. So that for me, that won it, that Taylor finally was listening to that
and
what came
yeah
from
and surrendering to it. She's like, this
amazing.
Is where we fucking
yes.
are. We're in the middle of a pandemic
yes.
but I wrote this and I have to just put it out because this is what it's telling me. So I surrender
yes.
to my circumstances. I go with my gut. I follow the energy and here it is. I mean, that's just the recipe for everything good.
Yes. And even if it sucked, I would still love that she did
yes.
that. But the fact that it
is
doesn't,
so
and it's
good.
So actually amazing.
Yes.
And people are calling it her best album
yes.
ever. It just so validates this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She let the reins go, right?
Yes.
She let the reins.
Yes.
For who? Rebecca Searle said that.
Yes.
She let go of the grip,
yes.
right, of the reins
yes.
of her life. And followed the energy. So that's definitely the winner for me with her. And I didn't think about this, but the first thing that comes to mind
yeah.
with the chicks is that I'm a little bit unraveled.
Oh,
I don't
love
sorry,
that.
Is just like the fact that she's saying, like, listen, if you want me, like, this is the way I am. I'm a little bit unraveled. I'm a little bit more traveled.
Mm.
The weight of my heart is through my mind. I might, you know, if I'm not too much for you.
Yeah.
I don't hear that in songs that much where you're like describing yourself in a way that like I felt very seen in
yes.
that. So I that one won it for me, those lines.
I love it. And by the way, you can put on a cardigan and then unravel it.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Oh, good stuff.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
and the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated. We want to let you know we've launched a Patreon page where supporters can receive perks like bonus episodes and exclusive content.
Because Pop Fiction Women is our passion project, a place where we give women space to show up and offer in-depth analysis in the ways we're used to hearing about male creators and their characters.
We delve into creativity and psychology with a dash of astrology, and we have so much fun doing it. Just two friends breaking down books, movies, and shows like Normal People, Fleabag, and I May Destroy You.
Every single aspect of this podcast we do ourselves, from the preparation to the recording, from the editing to the social media promotion. So we're adding a Patreon platform because we want to keep making the show you love and hopefully expand it even further.
So please consider becoming one of our most complicated fans and contributing on Patreon.
To learn more, go to patreon.com/popfictionwomen.